Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Last time the Bulls faced the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson hit approximately 500 threes, and the Warriors won by 2,000 points. Tonight, Jim Boylan's team has that road dog mentality. Can they exact revenge in Oakland? Bulls pregame live tips off our coverage at 9, and it's game time at 9:30 on NBC Sports Chicago and the My Teams app. The search to fill Vic Fangio's gray sweatpants continues. Bears reportedly met with Chuck Pagano today. They have Ed Donatell in-house. Who will they choose? J.J. Stankovic is here to discuss.
Speaking of the playoffs, just ahead, how the Bears kicker is feeling in the wake of that almost game winner. He is an extraordinary guy. We're going to ask Cody Parker in an exclusive live interview.
Hoda may not know Cody's name, but Bears fans will remember it for a long time. Parker had some free time, so he went on the Today Show this morning. I wonder why his schedule was open. So what was the point of this interview in the first place? Welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good day, a good week, and you're ready for a great weekend. I'm David Kaplan. All right, let's meet the panel for today's show. From the Score, WSCR Radio, Maggie Hendricks. We have J.J. Stankovic from our station right here at NBC Sports Chicago. We've got Ben Finfer, veteran sportsman. And we have Seth Gruen from the Big Ten Unfiltered podcast and the Bleacher Report. All right, welcome in, and let's get rocking and rolling. Let's talk a little bit of football. The Bears are off. They are not going to be playing this weekend because their kicker couldn't make a field goal. We'll get to Cody Parkey's Today Show appearance in a moment, but Chuck Pagano came into town today to interview with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy as they start to consider candidates to be the brand-new defensive coordinator. All right, they've got Ed Donatell in-house. I would have thought that if that's the guy they wanted, they would have already moved and hired him. But there are a lot of good candidates out there with all these jobs that were open.
Yeah, Cap, I don't know if necessarily they would have only done one interview. I mean, you have an opportunity to get essentially whoever you want to be your defensive coordinator. This is the best job at
that. You didn't get the guy you wanted.
Well, Todd Bowles, right, because he had already committed that. That's a whole different topic of discussion. But I think the Bears are smart. Matt Nagy's smart to go about this and conduct a couple of interviews at least to hear what Chuck Pagano has to say from the outside, to hear what Ed Donatell has to say from the inside. We'll see if they do any other interviews, but I like the first two guys they've talked to at least as potential options.
Is it a foregone conclusion that if Pagano gets the job, Donatell leaves and follows Fangio
yeah.
Denver?
I think so. That's kind of the sense I get, that he would then become Fangio's defensive coordinator. I don't think he would stick around as the secondary coach, because he's worked with Vic for, you know, since 2011 as a secondary coach. He'd be kind of a natural progression for him, even though he won't be calling the plays, to go to Denver in that situation.
Chuck Pagano's been a head coach, and to me, at least, based on some of the what I would deem wacky hires that have transpired over the past week in the NFL, what does it say about him that, you know, he didn't get one of those jobs? I mean, Cleveland went out and hired Freddie Kitchens, a guy who, admittedly, I'd never heard of before. You know, you look at what the Cardinals did with Cliff Kingsbury, a guy who was sub 500 in the Big 12. That's not the SEC.
But he's friends with Sean McVay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's fine. I think what it says about Pagano.
Yeah. Fine.
Look, I don't.
What does that say about Chuck Pagano?
It says that he's not good at doing the top job, yes. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to be a very good defensive coordinator.
To me, Seth, that's totally unfair to frame Chuck Pagano as not getting a head coaching job. Look, Indianapolis was not a good team under him. So he's probably not a good CEO. But you know what he is a good defensive mind, a guy who was Baltimore's defensive coordinator for a year. He was a secondary coach for a while.
And they were very good in Baltimore.
They were very good.
He was there in 2011.
He was. And also, I mean, he coached Ed Reed. If you want to laugh at the Ed Reed-Eddie Jackson comparisons, it's something he will bring to the table. And you even go back to Cleveland and Oakland. His secondaries were always among the best in the league at pass defense. He's not just a guy who was Indianapolis's coach. He was a guy who was a lot more than that.
Well, then let's go the other side of that, and just as a follow-up, Ed Donatell probably had the best year of any position coach on that staff. When you look at the strides Kyle Fuller made and Eddie Jackson, why aren't they willing to promote him?
I think they are willing to promote him. They're considering it. And if you're looking at it from this perspective, I think Matt Nagy might want to at least consider someone who does have that previous head coaching experience, even if it's not you know, the Colts where they went 4-12 the last year that Pagano was there. But that kind of CEO experience to just say, you can oversee the defense and I'll handle the offense, as opposed to Donatello hasn't been a coordinator in 12 years. That is something I think Nagy will kind of weigh and consider in this.
It's an important job. It's not something they should rush into. The defense is so key to everything the Bears have done this year. So I think it makes sense that you take the interviews and you just don't say, oh, I like that guy, let me promote him. Because that's generally the way to make a bad hire, whether it's football coaching or not.
I think there's something to the thought of potentially, if you take continuity, that's a good thing. But I was saying it on the show on Tuesday, Cap, that I don't think the Bears defense can be as good as it was this year in 2019. But if you kind of blow it up and you bring in a new voice, a new energy, it'll be the 3-4 scheme, but a different way to do it. That could be a way for this defense to kind of continue moving forward as opposed to regressing. Because I think even if you keep the same scheme, the same players, that turnover luck that they had is not going to be repetitive.
No, but you're also going to have a Roquan Smith who didn't go to training camp.
Yep.
Khalil Mack who didn't go to training
or
camp.
Or OTAs.
A Leonard Floyd who will have two hands, you would think, for the whole season.
Great point.
That's totally true, but what's to say one of those guys doesn't get injured? The Bears had such great injury luck this year that you're going to have to rely on depth. And the one point I'll say for Donatell, you can look at Eddie Jackson and Kyle Fuller. What he got out of Sherrick McManus after Bryce Callahan got hurt was outstanding. In this game against the Packers, the breakup he had on, it was a one-on-one coverage toward Randall Cobb in the end zone. He made a fantastic play on a ball to break up a pass. He played really well. Outside of, I guess, probably that 4th-and-2 against the Eagles.
That one little play.
Other than that, he was really good.
Is there a potential that they could lose more assistant coaches on the defense? I know most of them are under contract, but if Donatell leaves and maybe they have no ties to Pagano, would he want to bring in some of his own guys?
That's an interesting question, Ben. I think that they would probably look at – I think you probably want to keep a guy like Jay Rogers, right, who's worked so well with Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman – and those guys, but...
And he's also been considered a little bit for that DC job.
Yeah, I think he's probably the guy, maybe Glenn Pyers, but, you know, Jay Rogers is kind of that ascending trajectory in terms of coaching, but he is young. Never called plays before, and that would be kind of a leap for Matt Nagy to say, you handle the defense when you've only handled the defensive line previously.
They also have some other names that are out there, but it looks like they're not interested in Greg Williams, Steve Wilkes. Some of these guys are starting to find homes. Why did they have no interest in any of those guys?
I don't know if they had necessarily no interest in those guys, but they might be lower on their pecking order. Steve Wilkes is more of a 4-3 guy, so I think they might not look at him. Greg Williams, a guy who does come with some baggage, I think he would be kind of
tough. Ryan was with him in New Orleans.
He was, and you know, I think the Bounty Gate stuff, enough time has passed, but Greg Williams, looking at that brash personality.
He's abrasive.
Might be a little, he's abrasive.
Hell of a football coach.
Hell of a football coach.
We had Alex Brown on, and he said, one of the best I've ever played for.
But that personality.
Why didn't get the head coaching job in Cleveland then?
Well,
that personality might be kind of a hard sell for the McCaskey family and Greg Williams.
They wanted an offensive guy.
They are the running backs coach. I mean, who's low on the pecking
order.
They're
second in DVOA in the second half.
And has a good relationship with the young
Well, that's it. That was it.
Their defense was top 3 or 4.
And because he's not a
CEO. And he still didn't get the job.
They wanted an offensive coach.
I think one other guy who's out there, Vance Joseph, going to Arizona.
Yep.
I think that's probably fine because if you want long-term continuity with this defense, I think Vance Joseph deserves to get a job in 2020. As a guy who as a head coach.
For what reason?
He only had 2 years in Denver.
And he was awful.
Probably will learn something from it. He's a good defensive mind. He's well-respected in the league. I think he's a guy who...
I thought he was one of the worst coaches in the National Football League.
Just because you were a bad coach for 2 years doesn't mean you'll be a bad coach.
There's other guys... That's the one problem I have with the National Football League is let's recycle and recycle and recycle. I thought it was refreshing when there's some guys that people went, that guy got a job? Give a new guy a chance.
I think the trap we fall into when we're evaluating head coaches, Cap, is that everyone wants to know exactly how a guy is going to be as soon as he's hired. But a year ago, we were questioning Matt Nagy. He only had 6 games of play calling experience. And 2 years ago, people were saying, why would you hire a 32-year-old who is with Washington? We don't know how these guys are going to pan out. Matt Patricia, people might have been saying, well, he's a defensive mind, a Belichick guy. Good hire. He's now criticizing reporters for their posture and seems to have lost that locker room already. We just don't know this quickly into the process a week after a guy gets hired.
All right, let's talk about Cody Parkey. He went on the Today Show today, and for what reason? I haven't been able to figure out, but he did speak about the missed kick last Sunday. In fact, they even want to give him the Most Honorable Person Award. What was your takeaway on him going on the show?
Well, my issue with this whole, he's so honorable, he's so great. What about his teammates? What about his teammates who completely backed him when they were talking to media and have continued to back him as this entire week has gone on? Those are the guys that I feel like are the most honorable. He wasn't a jerk. Good job, Cody. Like, that is really the bar that we are saying is like, okay, he wasn't a jerk to the media. He listened to most of the questions. Or he answered most of the questions. So, hey, you're great. Come on.
Let's take a listen to Cody Parkey today on the Today Show.
I'm disappointed, that I let the fans, my teammates, and the whole organization down. But I'll continue to keep my head held high because football is what I do. It's not who I am. I haven't been on social media or anything like that.
Smart man.
Yeah, so a lot of good can come from it and a lot of bad can come from it. But at the same time, I've gotten a lot of positive messages. Like I said earlier, I feel worse than anybody about missing that kick because I wanted to make it more than anybody. at the end of the day, I'm just going to hold my head high. And when things aren't going my way, I'm just going to continue to think positive and keep swinging. I think a lot of teammates stood up for me from what I've heard. And that just shows you what kind of team we have. I mean, it's a family. It's a bond that, these guys see me working hard every day and they know all the effort we put into it year round. So it's really awesome to see that Akeem and everyone else stood up for me like that. I really appreciate it.
All right, so that's just a few snippets from his 5-minute segment today on the Today Show. What bothered me was, dude, just keep your mouth quiet. You missed the kick. You spoke on Sunday. Now ride off into the sunset. And whether they bring you back or not, we'll find out at a later date. There was no purpose in doing
that. Well, can I say, by the way,
he's getting a lot of criticism from other players around the league.
Give credit to the Today Show. I'm glad they're finally going back to the hard news. Let Stephanopoulos deal with that government shutdown fluff and cover stuff like this.
I get why the Today Show had him on. It's, that block he was on is a lot of moms and, kids who are athletes, sons and daughters. And the way Cody Parkey has handled this.
You watch that show a lot, huh?
No, my mother-in-law texted me that she thought he was great on TV. And obviously I watched it today, too. But that's kind of who it's appealing to. But for Cody Parkey, I don't quite get why he decided to do it. Like, I don't know what his end game is here. Why he's trying to start his redemption tour 5 days after he missed a kick, where if he doesn't miss the kick, I might not be on here talking about who their next defensive coordinator is.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think there's a chance that the redemption tour started because when he had his exit interview on Monday, Ryan Pace said, hey, thanks for everything. I know you got a guarantee, but we're not bringing you
back. There's no way he can come. I don't think he can kick in Chicago again.
But do you think he knows that
already? I don't think he can kick in the NFL again, and that's why he was on the show to start his next career. I think his agent was smart enough to say, hey, we don't know what kind of job you're going to get.
He'll get another chance to kick.
Yeah, he'll get another chance to kick at some point. But I think they also were thinking long term. Let's think about a kid's book. Let's think about your speaking tour, how you came back from adversity. I think that's what it was about. Because the Bears didn't set him up for the Today Show.
This makes him less attractive to another NFL team. I think he'll kick again. This, to me, is monumentally stupid on his part to show up on the Today Show when you should be prepping for a playoff game. After you made a comment about not wanting to practice at Soldier Field because you didn't want to fight traffic. I mean, this guy has no sense of what's appropriate publicly or what's good for his personal publicity. It blew me away that he was on this
thing. It would have been totally fine if he answered questions after the game Sunday and went underground and no one heard
from
him.
Yeah,
that's what he should have done.
Forever. Would have been totally fine.
Yeah. It's just weird. I mean, why is the Today Show talking
about it? Was Bill Buckner on the Today Show after he had that error in the World Series?
That might be where they all go.
This is like a nobody kicker. There's a lot of other kickers in the league who are more well. It's just an odd situation. And there are
people on social media going, he's so inspirational.
That's fine. He's handled
this. Not what
this.
I'm seeing on social media.
He's handled this in a way that if you're teaching,
seen some other things.
If you're teaching your son or daughter about how to handle blowing a game, he's handling it well. I'll give him that. or he handled it well on Sunday after the game, at least. I don't know if you want your son or daughter to go on the Today Show after they commit an error in the softball championship, but I still don't know what this end game is, unless Cap, you're right. He's been told you're not kicking for the Bears again, and he's thinking,
I got to get back out.
Does he even need to be told he's not kicking for the Bears again? He's obviously.
Does he also need a book deal? He got $9 million guaranteed.
Well, you could always use more.
And let's not forget this guy was a Pro Bowler in Philly. He was. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Have a great dinner tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. The last time the Bulls played the Warriors, they gave me an ulcer and basically got their old coach fired. What will happen tonight in Oakland? Can Jim Boylan's team hold Golden State under 140? Mark Schanowski here to discuss that, plus the draft. We might have added another name to the Bulls' draft wish list last night.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
Don't forget, download that awesome My Teams app by NBC Sports. Take the Blackhawks and Bulls with you on the go and stream the games 24/7. Get the latest news on all of your favorite Chicago teams so you can be an authentic fan. Get it at the iTunes or Google Play Store. All right, our guy, Mark Schanowski, Mr. NBA, is here. Bulls and Warriors tonight here on NBC Sports Chicago. All right, last time they played, I nearly had a meltdown on the set when they gave
up. Oh, my goodness.
14 threes and nobody challenged Klay Thompson. What do you expect tonight?
You know, speaking of that game, I was thinking about my old partner, the late, great Norm Van Leer.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine what he would have done if he was doing pre and post that night? He would have blown a gasket because just the idea of Klay Thompson shooting three after three. The third quarter was almost a sideshow. The game had already been decided. Every possession was run for Klay Thompson. No one took a hard foul. He got a lot of wide open looks. And I think that, you know, it was just almost insulting to the fan base.
Norm would have gone wild.
They scored. I look back at the box score. They scored 92 points in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unheard of.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So what do you expect tonight? Because, you know, Golden State hasn't played great basketball on a nightly basis. The Bulls are just not a good basketball team. Does Golden State come out and just eviscerate them or go through the motions?
Well, we've seen this with, you know, the great Bulls teams of the past when they were trying for that third championship. It was always the hardest one. You know, they had their lowest win totals. They didn't have home court advantage in the finals in either of their three-peat runs. And I think for the Warriors, it's just a bit of a malaise. You know, they've played the long seasons, the extended seasons into late June. I think they're a little bit tired, both physically and emotionally. So you got a bad team coming in tonight in the Bulls. I would think that maybe you can catch them with their guard down a little bit. I'm not saying the Bulls have a great chance to win the game, but I'm sure that Jim Boylan's going to play at a slower style, try to walk it up, get Golden State off out of their comfort zone, and try to muck up the game a little bit, try to keep the score down.
It's kind of been a rough start for the young guys meshing together once they all were back from injury. Have you seen anything encouraging to suggest maybe it's headed in the right direction?
I think the most encouraging thing over the last couple of weeks has been the play of Chris Dunn. He's been hurt so much since the trade that people were wondering, is this guy going to be your point guard of the future? The jury's still out on that one. We don't know for sure whether or not he's going to be an upper-level NBA point guard.
Is it not going to be campaign then, the point guard?
Is
that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about campaign, and getting us off track, is that one of the top players in the draft is a point guard from Murray State named John Morant. So you're thinking about Cameron Payne and Isaiah Cannon. Would they dare draft a point guard from Murray State? But Chris Dunn, of course, was an All-American at Providence. He was the fifth pick in the draft, and I think he's played a lot better. One of the knocks on him has been, at times, he kind of loses track of his teammates. He becomes a score-first kind of point guard. I think he's taken a lot of big steps over the last few weeks. He's had like seven games in a row where he's had at least seven assists. He had 17 assists in the overtime loss to Indiana last Friday. And I think we're seeing some growth from Chris Dunn. Now we've got to get Lauri Markkanen going. He had those two 30-point games a couple of weeks ago, and we're thinking, well, now it's time to take off. But he's kind of taken a couple of steps back. I know my partner on the pre- and post-game shows, Kendall Gill, wants to see more of that dog mentality where you demand the ball on the block, make sure that you're getting it in places where you can score. But, you know, Jim Boylan mentioned yesterday that he goes, you know, his elbow's been bothering him still. It was a very serious injury, and I think right now he's starting to feel closer to 100%.
You've got here, obviously, the gold standard of the NBA and a team that, well, you know, at times looks like a D-League team. I mean this in all seriousness, not to be facetious. How far away are the Bulls from maybe getting closer to contending. Could one player do it if they go out and win the ladder?
Two could.
Wilt.
I mean, Zion Williamson.
No, yeah. He's, Michael.
You know, you can't look at that guy and say to yourself, he can't change a franchise because he can't. He could be a generational talent.
We've seen examples this season. Look at the Sacramento Kings, who have been in the lottery for the last 5 or 6 years. They're now at the 500 mark. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs in the West, but they've shown tremendous signs of growth. Look at Dallas Mavericks. They got Luka Doncic in the draft, who's far and away going to be the rookie of the year. They're, not going to be a playoff team, but they've made a big jump because they hit on a future star in the draft. I think if the Bulls could somehow get the first pick, get Zion Williamson, Cap and I were talking about this earlier, then you go into free agency, maybe you look a little more attractive to potential free agents.
Get a Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker is going to be a free agent, and he appeared on ESPN's The Jump earlier in the week and said that, you know, he's had some frank discussions with management about what they're going to do to improve that roster in Charlotte. So he's obviously given the thought of possibly changing teams. And you know, it could be pie in the sky, and especially with the new lottery rules,
right?
You know, the odds have been flattened out where it's going to take luck more than having the worst record, which is going to help you get that guy in your
So with Jim Boylan, it seems like there's not as much drama as there was when he first started, though the drama was fun. I enjoyed it. Do you think he is now kind of calming down and like everything, it's looking like he's going to be the coach?
Well, I think what happened with Jim Boylan is that John Paxson wanted 100% difference in approach, a coaching approach. He felt like the players weren't as accountable under Fred Hoiberg, and the first thing that Jim was asked to do was change the culture. He wanted players to get tougher, to work harder in practice. He wanted a defense-first mentality. And Jim, who's a high-energy guy, went so hard at that, it was a shock to the system. The players didn't even know how to handle what was going on, and that's where you had the near revolt on that opening weekend when they had those long practices. But I think now he understands that these are professionals and he has to kind of meet them halfway. They've had a number of days off over the last couple of weeks. He's canceled a couple of shoot-arounds. And I think that he's even trying to play at a faster tempo because he knows with all five starters now, 24 or younger, this is a team that should be well-suited to running fast breaks, getting easy buckets in transition. And I think he's going to try to kind of loosen the reins a little bit in terms of calling every possession and making them milk the 24-second shot clock every time on court.
If you look at the talent on the roster right now, who's the best guy going forward? Is it Markkanen?
I think it's Markkanen just because of the fact he's got a unique skill set. 7 feet tall, he can shoot the three as well as any big man in the game. And when he's right, we've seen it in the past where he can put the ball on the floor, he can go strong to the rim and finish. Right now, I don't know if it's because of the elbow injury, because of the fact he got a late start and his conditioning isn't quite where he'd like it to be. He's not finishing at the basket as well as we saw a year ago. And I think that's going to be when we really say this guy could be an all-star, when he's not only hitting that three ball, but he's going strong to the basket and throwing it down like he did on Enes Kanter at Madison Square Garden last year. He's got all the skills to be a really elite offensive player. He's also an underrated defensive rebounder. I think at 7 feet, he is the guy with the biggest upside on this team. I think Zach LaVine is a good complimentary scorer, a guy who can get you 20 a night, but I don't know that he's going to be a guy that you can necessarily go to on need possessions late in the game. This is the guy they're pinning their hopes on, and they're hoping to add another great piece in the draft and maybe get somebody in free agency, and then you can turn things around pretty quickly, especially in the East.
Okay, they did not do a good enough job tanking last year. They might have got a good player at
yes,
7.
Yes.
This year, they're right there in the mix to have a shot, the best, one of the top three right. shots to get the number one pick. Do you think they're going to move more guys out of here, Robin Lopez, to give themselves the best chance to be as bad as possible?
I think you will see that Robin Lopez will either be traded or bought out after the February 7th trade deadline. I know they're working with Jabari Parker and his agent, Mark Bartelstein, to try to find him a new home. So you're going to see some more roster changes. The problem is, as I just alluded to earlier, the rules have changed. Now the bottom four teams, or bottom three teams, have the same 14% chance of winning the top pick. The fourth pick is like a 12.6% chance, and the first four picks in the draft will be decided by lottery. So you could have the worst record in the NBA and pick fifth. And that's not what Bulls fans want to hear. But, I hear all the time from fans, Bulls should try to lose every game. They should tank. It might not make any difference. It's all going to come down to luck in the lottery on that night in May.
How good do you think this year's draft is?
Not that good. I think it's a one-player draft.
Really?
In terms of franchise changers, I like the kid R.J. Barrett from Duke. I think he's got a versatile skill set. He kind of reminds you a little bit of James Harden. And he's a lefty. He's got kind of a funky approach to the way he goes to the basket. But the other kid from Duke, Cam Reddish, has been awful. Yeah. He can't shoot to save his life.
North Carolina, and his name is escaping.
Nasir Little. He's coming off the bench. He had 2 points against North Carolina.
He's been awful, and they're talking to him a top four pick.
Langford at Indiana.
Right. Manute Bol's kid, who's out for the year now with a leg injury. So they're really, outside of Zion Williamson and maybe R.J. Barrett.
And there may be one kid in Europe.
Yeah, maybe. A kid from France.
There's always one kid in Europe.
Yeah. we'll have to see if he can play at this level. Obviously, we saw with Luka, he's the real deal. But a lot of times, these guys disappoint. I really like the kid, Ja Morant, as I talked about earlier, from Murray State. He had a dunk yesterday. I guess we're going to see it right here. That he reminded me of Dwayne Wade going to the basket here. Remember Wade at Marquette? He was thinner. He could really sky. This kid is really interesting. The problem is, though, he's playing in the Ohio Valley.
Well, I'm glad Zapruder got some footage of the game, too.
So, you know, maybe Cap will be on the call for one of his games.
Yeah, that's right up your alley, for sure.
Got it. I'm at Rhode Island this week. I'll let you know if George Mason has a player.
Okay, maybe you can find somebody. I know you told Pax you found a guy last year that was pretty good.
I did. There was a couple, but we'll see. All right, so pregame is at?
Pregame's at 9 o'clock, and I can promise you, I don't know what the game's going to be like, but the pregame show is going to be a lot of fun. Horace Grant is here tonight, along with Will and Kendall. We're going to have some laughs. We're going to talk about some big-picture stuff in terms of the direction of the offense. We're going to have fun. So hopefully you tune in at 9 o'clock. Can't promise you what the game will be like, but the pregame and postgame shows will be excellent.
I believe it.
All right. Bulls and the Warriors. All right, Addison Russell will miss the first 28 games of the season as he serves a suspension for domestic abuse. Today, the Cubs signed him to a one-year deal, but he could actually recoup the money he would have lost. Is that sending the right message? And we have some breaking news on Manny Machado. Just kidding. Still nothing going on.
That's terrible.
Make his mind up next week. Be right back.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.